So in this way we see that Fromm's definition of ritual, as a shared action expressive of common strivings rooted in common values, is applicable to this very important Buddhist practice of going for refuge. And I think we can say that we have now understood something at least of the psychology of ritual, and we can perhaps begin to see, perhaps begin to have some idea of its value. Whether we like it or not, I'm afraid, ritual is an integral part. Rational ritual is an integral part of Buddhism, indeed of the spiritual life itself. As I've said, of course, however, nowadays a ritual is not very popular. And very often we find people coming into Buddhism who are even actually hostile towards ritual. Well, this isn't anything very intelligent. It's usually simply the result of their past conditioning. And we usually find that as people get deeper and deeper into our movement, they are gradually able to overcome this conditioning and appreciate the ritual aspect and realize its benefit for themselves. This reminds me of another little incident from my experience in Kalimpong, with which perhaps we ought to close. And that relates to an Englishman who came to stay with me to study Buddhism. It's the same one, incidentally, who wanted to develop the psychic powers. But he was also very interested in Buddhist philosophy. He'd been brought up as a Protestant, and, of course, was against ritual. And he sometimes used to say to me, well, I like Buddhism, I love the philosophy, I like the sutras, and I like the philosophy, and all the rest of it, but I just can't stand this bowing and scraping in the shrine. He didn't like it at all. So anyway, I put the Buddhist point of view to him. We had several arguments and several discussions about it. But whenever I mentioned ritual, he was very, very quiet, very silent. And he wouldn't join in the ritual in the shrine. Our practice was every morning and every evening for an hour, we'd have a puja and meditation. So he joined in the meditation, but he wouldn't join in the puja. He wouldn't even put his hands together. He was as conditioned as that. But I didn't say very much. I just put the Buddhist point of view to him and let him get on with it. But evidently he was thinking it over. One day he came dashing into my room and he said, Bhante, I've done it. So I said, what do you mean you've done what? So I said, believe it or not, I went into the shrine just now and I bowed down. So I said, well, that's very good. How do you feel? He said, I feel quite different. He said, I wouldn't have thought it would make such a difference as that, but I feel quite different having done it. So this is perhaps very significant. He may be a rather extreme case, but I suspect that quite a number of people, if only they could bring themselves to do a little ritual, I don't mean they should go all out for it and neglect every other aspect of Buddhism and spend all their day offering flowers, though there are many worse ways of spending one's time than that. But certainly if they could bring themselves to participate a little in the ritual side of Buddhism, at least to the extent of participating wholeheartedly in our sevenfold puja and so on, they get a lot more out of Buddhism, I suspect, than they at present do. So this all points to the conclusion that in this country, as well as in the West generally, we do need to develop the ritual aspect of Buddhism rather more than we have done so far. We also need, of course, to develop the devotional side. Otherwise, there's the danger of Buddhism being, in the West, a purely intellectual movement. And that isn't going to get us very far in the direction of enlightenment. How things are in England, we know quite well, I think. How they are on the continent, so far as the Buddhist movement is concerned, we know also quite well. We are not quite so well posted, perhaps, about the United States of America. I don't know whether they're in the same predicament there, or whether their Buddhism tends to be predominantly intellectual, or whether there are devotional and ritual aspects, but no doubt in a few minutes' time we shall have the opportunity of hearing something about these things in response perhaps to our questions from the Reverend Iru Price. So, as there isn't very much time left before lunch, let us conclude with the psychology of ritual for the time being and proceed now, after a few minutes intermission, to our question and answer meeting.